4 AAE mobile.
Care 4 AAE, W4DJW.
W4DJW, this is KR4 AAE. Good evening, Dave. How are you?
Had my speaker muted. I thought you were responding, but I didn't hear anything.
That's okay. I've done the same thing. Speaker's muted. I'm in a web meeting. I'm talking on mute for 5 minutes, and I say, oh no, I'm on mute.
I've done that in a meeting before, too. And they're looking at me saying, no ears. Can't hear.
Yeah, I do my fair share of that every meeting I have. How's everything with you? Everything good?
Well, everything except the weather. If you got any control over that, it'd be nice to have some sunshine back and some warm temperatures. But I guess this is what makes us appreciate that.
Yes, I agree with you. I'm ready for sunshine and warm. I feel like I'm in the Pacific Northwest right now of rainy, overcast, and cold.
I've been in the Pacific, but never the Pacific Northwest. Maybe one day. You've been up in Washington State?
Yes, Washington State, Seattle, Tacoma area, Olympic Mountains. July is always a good time to go.
My next door neighbor is from there, and I got a buddy that I worked with back in the 70s and 80s who moved there for all of his career, and he just recently moved back here. He spent his whole career up there from the 70s till within the last year or two, and then he moved back down here.
What did he do for work? Just curious.
We were both in IT. We both worked out in the shop at Michelin on the shop floor, a machine shop, building the mold that you cure tires in. And we both went to school while we were in the shop. Francois Michelin, the guy that owned the place, said if you make a B or better, he'll reimburse you. You got to pay your way. But if you make a B or better, he'll pay for your college education. So both of us enrolled in that, and we went into IT, computer science, and then programming, and then software development. And then we outgrew Michelin because manufacturing doesn't pay well for IT, whereas financials pays really, really good. So we went out contracting around the dot-com boom. I think he was working for Cygnus at one time, and then Red Hat, Linux Red Hat. And then I was doing contracts until the music stopped playing on the dot-com boom, and I landed at B of A. So, and then we both kind of stayed there forever until our work careers were over and came back to Greenville.
It's a very interesting career history over there. I like the, hey, you make a beer better, I'll reimburse you for your school. I like that.
I don't know what they do these days, but back then that was pretty normal, is they wanted you to get an education, so they would pay your way. At least that was a French company, and so they wanted everybody as educated as they could get, but they didn't want you leaving. But we did stay for a few years after we graduated, stayed there for, you know, enough years so that they could get their money back for it. I went over to France and lived over France for a while. They wanted. They had 52 CNC programmers that wanted a compiler in the French language. All computers are in English language, or back then everything was English, and so the French had to interpret the English. So they said, "No more. We want our own in our own language." So they sent me over there for a year to develop them a compiler in their own language for their CNC machining, and that was a blast. I worked for 52 different programmers all pulling in different directions.
It is one very interesting career path. I mean, I wish corporations and companies would bring that back. You'd be surprised what that would do for morality and loyalty back to the company.
Well, while they did that, while I was over there, there was a French guy that was over here, so we swapped jobs. I went over there to do his job. He came over here to do my job. That way in French they call that a mélange, a mix of people so that everybody gets to know everybody. Before I went over there, I had worked with a guy for about 10 years. I was doing the engraving on the sidewall of all the tires in North America, you know, from bicycle tires to earth movers. And he was doing all of that in Europe. And we never met. There was no such thing as the internet, but all the computers we had underground, we had leased a portion of the under ocean cable, so we could get in Unix chat and we could talk to each other. Unix called it talk. So I'd just do a talk to Michelle, or he'd do a talk to me, and it opened up a window on both of our computers, and we would chat every day when we did handoffs. You know, he might be in the middle of programming a Mr. Bib, and that's that guy that looks like a bunch of balloons, and be stuck in a corner, and I'd work on it a little bit to help him through that corner, or vice versa. So, yeah, it worked pretty good. We got to be really close with our French counterparts.
Sounds like the very beginnings of communications that we use now with Microsoft Teams and everything else. Little chat window up there.
It was. It was pretty good. It used the X11 protocol. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but X11 is the Unix windowing system. It came along well before Windows was ever established. Kind of like Mac had windowing system before Windows PC. When Windows PCs were DOS, not Windows PC, but, you know, DOS PCs were DOS, and they didn't have any windowing system. I think Mac had a windowing system, and Unix had X11. Was the protocol, uses port 6000. So, yeah, that was long before the internet, but we were talking across the ocean. And we do it every day. It wouldn't cost Michelin a dime more than if we didn't use it. We were connected. We could talk, and virtually didn't cost anything, not like a telephone line. Now, every now and then we'd get hung up and we'd open a telephone line, but most of the time we just used Unix talk. Those were simpler days. Those were fun days.
It was interesting because when I first started in tech, I said, how do they get across the ocean with all the connectivity? And then I Googled oceanic fiber lines, things like that, and I saw all the connectivity and how many lines were run from coast to coast and at the bottom of the ocean. It's like, wow, that is amazing. I mean, who thought, hey, let's just go put a fiber cable underneath the ocean so we can connect all the continents together? I mean, who thinks of that stuff? Obviously not me, because I'm not retired and a millionaire.
Well, we didn't have direct one-to-one. Our lines connected to New York, and New York connected to Paris, and Paris connected to Clermont. So I'd go to a New York server, he'd go to a Paris server, and then we could connect. So it wasn't as seamless as it is now. I could jump on a New York server and jump from the New York server over to the Paris server, and from the Paris server down to Clermont-Ferrand, which is the center of France, which is where all the Michelin development goes on in France, and then pop open a window on his desktop and say, hey, where are you? Right? It's kind of like a telephone call. Or we could just go, you know, meet in Paris or meet in New York, either one. And I'd open a window in New York and display it back in Greenville. He'd open a window in New York and display it back in Greenville. And then we could connect, or Paris or Clermont or Greenville. Either one, any of us could do that. It was fun days.
That sounds like fun. I mean, this is the stuff that was way before me, and I'm glad I'm hearing about it now, because now I can associate more pieces with the beginnings and how everything started. So it's great. I love it.
But that was just a way to communicate. The whole point of the deal was to be able to work through CNC routines, computer numeric control, to control 3, 4, 5, 6-axis machines with a computer to do really, really precise machining. But those days are gone. But we're both retired. The guy that I worked with really close over there, the guy that came over here to take my place over here when I went over there, which was a different guy. Everybody's retired now from all of that. But we still keep in touch with each other.
That is great that you guys keep in touch with each other. I can maybe count on one hand how many people I keep up with from all the different places I've worked. I gotta say, it's not that many.
Yeah, it is getting to be a little bit less friendly like that than it used to be. I guess, and one of the reasons is probably because I remember when I left Michelin, they gave me a going away party, and they gave me this big plaque, and everybody signed it, and it was really sad. It was sad, but I was doing it, you know, not because I didn't like Michelin. I was doing it because there were opportunities, and I was doing it for my family, right, to make more money, to go out contracting. That made it kind of sad, but one of the sayings that was coming to the surface is, it's no longer your father's Oldsmobile, whereas back in my father's day, you went to work for a company, and you worked for that company your whole life, and you knew those people, and those people knew you, and that was it. And then as I was going through my career, it became more and more of, you've got to move around to increase your pay, right? And it's absolutely true. It's exactly what I had to do. If I would have stayed where I was at, you know, it wouldn't have been good. But you use one as a stepping stone to get to the other, and then you climb that way. So just a totally different world. So it's no longer your father's Oldsmobile. W4DJW.
Yeah, and I'm finding that out. I was looking at my resume yesterday, just making sure I keep it updated, and lo and behold, it's every 2 to 3 years I'm switching a job, which is directly in line with what you're saying there, KR4AAE.
Back during the dot-com boom, everybody got six-month contracts. There were venture capitalists that were just pouring money into the Internet, and so when you got a contract, there was no, you didn't want to go more than 6 months because the pay scale changed every 6 months. So what you do is go out there and add, at the end of one contract, you'd add the experience that you got for that previous 6 months to your resume. And when you hit the save button, it would come to the top of the list on all the headhunters' research lists. And on the day that was your last day, my last day, I would click that button, right, that said, save my resume with this new information in it. And cell phones were still back, a flip phone was the hottest, greatest cell phone, right, the ones you flip to open. And that thing would go, I'd have it in my pocket, and it would be going off the whole day long. And I would just tell them where they're at with their offer, right, you're third on the list, you're first on the list. If nothing comes up better, that by the end of the day, you'll get the contract. And it just rang and rang. It was a programmer's paradise back then. And that went on for about 4 years. And then the music stopped playing. The dot-com bubble bursts.
I remember the beginnings of the dot-com going, but I kind of remember when it busted. But I was in the golf industry then, and that's right about when Tiger was doing all his stuff, and then the golf industry busted. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to go back into technology for a bit. But you gave me a good idea with contract work. I need to look into that for something if I ever need something to tie me over for a few months.
That is a big step. When I stepped out, I consulted with my wife on that. I said, do you think I ought to give up this one bird in the hand is better than two in the nest, or whatever that saying is? And she said, yeah, go for it. She was just nonchalant about it. And I was thinking, you don't let go of one rope till you got another rope in your hand. But I went ahead and put, back then it was Monster. I put my resume up on Monster and got bunches of telephone calls. And that was kind of the clincher. When you see what the market's actually doing when you're ready to go contracting and see if the market has a demand for your skill, that's a confidence builder right there.
I will definitely have to remember that if something happens with my job in the next couple months here. That's a good reminder of there's stuff out there. Just gotta look for it.
Yeah, and then you know more and more nowadays. There's a bunch of them. Like I think Indeed is the top of the stack right now, or it was when I retired. There might be something even better than Indeed now, but I think it's the one that's at the top of the stack. But after a while, I was using several of those. Monster was still the mainstay. I think Dice was one for programmers. Monster and Dice is where I would end up. But then there's more and more all the time. So you got to keep up with where the headhunters are going to get their contracts. Anyway, what's new in amateur radio in your world? You trying anything different? Got anything new on the horizon? KR4AAEW4DJW.
Yeah, nothing new yet. I did get the in the bed half wave antenna kit from the ARRL site. Haven't had time to mess with that yet because I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't had a chance to look at HF rigs yet. Got a couple other things I need to take care of before I invest in a HF rig, but soon. Hopefully, shooting for late spring, hopefully I'll have an HF rig. And then I'll build that antenna and hop on HF soon.
So if you got anyone in mind, you're looking at like ICOM, Kenwood, or Nyesu, or you're looking at more like SDR, or looking at more like kits, or where's your tendency for radio headed?
Oh, I am looking at the Nyesu 991A. I think it's a tri-bander, so I can always take that where I need to. It might not be the lightest or smallest thing, but it's semi-portable if I needed to, but that's what I'm looking at right now.
That's the one with the built-in waterfall, right?
I believe it is.
Yeah, I've seen that radio at a few other hams' house. I don't have one. I got the TS-2000. And I think they do about the same thing, except I don't know that that one does UHF and VHF. I think that's all of the low bands. But good radio. Waterfall's kind of nice because it gives you a little bit of time to see what happened where in the past. Not a whole lot of time, but for the length of that waterfall falling, you can see, oh, somebody was over there just a minute ago. It might be dead silent there now. Right, or you can see that when you clicked on it, that's when they let off their mic. That waterfall comes in handy.
It's the one I'm going to lean towards, one of the Yaesu radios for HF or tri-bander, whichever one I decide. Dave, I just pulled up my house here, so I'm going to jump off and go into my office, and we can continue there. So I'm going to say 73 temporarily. This is KR4AAE, and I'll be clear.
All right, Stephen. Well, nice talking to you. Enjoy the rest of the evening and the rest of the week. Hopefully, it's supposed to get nicer, I think, on Friday afternoon. Anyway, stay safe. KR4AAE, W4DJW.